Rashi quotes a Medrash Tanchuma, which we don't often see. It's nestled in the end of Parshas Pinchas. We don't really think about it. We spend a lot of time charting the diminishing cows, the diminishing oxes on Sukkos. And it's important not just because on Sukkos they start at 13 and then it's 13 or 14, forget already. If they start 14? They start at 13 and they descend to 1. They jump from 7 to 1, or Shmini Atzeres. But because it's the template for Hanukkah, so it means something larger than just the diminishing process, a little bit larger than just Sukkos. And the famous Rashi on Shmini Atzeres, only want one to signify my special love for Am Yisrael, Achasi Yonasi Tamasi, which is, of course, the source of such great controversy, because in Kabbalah, Shmini Atzeres represents walking in from Galus to Eretz Yisrael, that Am Yisrael was scattered amongst all the nations during Sukkos. And Shmini Atzeres, Hashem says, come home, come to the Beis HaMikdash, which is why people in Chutz Laaretz stop sitting in their Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, even though halachically you have to. It's in the Mefurash Gemara. It's one of the famous clashes between halacha and the second day of Shmini Atzeres in Israel. You don't have a problem because it's the eighth day. But Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laaretz may be the seventh day because it's the Sfeika D'Yomah. That's why the halacha is, if you're in Chutz Laaretz, you have to sit in the Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres because it may be the seventh day. But a lot of minhagim started throughout Europe that you don't sit there, even though it's against the Gemara and Sukkah. Anyway, it's not our conversation here. So Rashi quotes a Medrash Tanchuma. Very different version as to why the animals diminish. Rashi says it's a mashal for a king. And I'm sorry, it's the Gemara and Sukkah. The Medrash Tanchuma says the Torah is teaching you how to be a host. How should you be a host? So you would think you should upgrade the process. The first day you're there, I feed you what I can. The second day, bring you a better meal. The third day, bring you something more comfortable. I should always be enhancing. You go to a hotel, you expect it to get better, not to get worse. But when you go to someone's house, so Rashi says, Limda Torah Derech Eretz. The Torah is teaching you, give them the best stuff the first day. Second day, take away a little. Third day, a little less. Fourth day, a little less. So the Medrash talks about quality. The first day, the Medrash says, give him fattened chickens. The next day, fish. The next day, meat, which is a little bit harsher, asado. The next day, beans. The next day, vegetables. What, are you trying to get rid of him? Can't you take a hint? I'm giving you vegetables. Go somewhere else. Go to the Spitzes. You're not supposed to say that. It's not fair. Where it says in Rav and Siri, you're not supposed to say that. Anyway, what's the point here? So it's really important, okay, you guys in Mirza Shem, hopefully we'll all be hosts one day. The most important thing a guest wants to feel, as someone who's a guest very often, is the following four words, maybe five words. I am not a big deal. I am not a burden. If you feel that they're dancing around you and their whole life stops and they're running around you and you're an inconvenience to them, you just feel, most people feel uncomfortable. You don't like being there. I've been guests in people's houses. The best situation, I'm thinking of someone in particular, maybe he's listening to this year, is when I come and I go and I'm absolutely no burden to them. I do my own laundry. I have my own food because I feel that I'm inconveniencing them. So maybe I have a roof over my shoulders, have a bed to lie on. But psychologically, it's very difficult for me to know that I'm being, especially if I stay an extended period, that I'm being such an, it's just a Shabbos mela. But remember, in our day, because of transportation, you're a guest for shorter periods of time. In those days, you'd come and you'd be a guest for 6 months until the next boat, or for 3 weeks until the next train. So you'd be really living with someone for more extended periods. It happens still in today's world, during the pandemic, of course, during Corona. So if the host is constantly struggling, okay, yesterday, I don't know, yesterday I got a Rami Levy pizza, got to go for Nino's tomorrow. I'm always trying to up my game. I'm always trying to find... So the guest will realize that. The guest will feel, I don't feel comfortable. So the best way to be a host, again, you don't want to shaft the person. You don't want to ignore the person. Well, Rabbi Tarikin said, shouldn't be a big deal. Here's some breadcrumbs. You sleep on the bed of nails. No, you want to give them a reasonably comfortable experience, but if the host will pay attention as to whether you're exerting beyond normal parameters, and that guest will feel more uncomfortable. So this is the reason that the Purim diminish. It's nothing to do with the 70 nations, nothing to do with Shmini Atzeres. Hashem says, day one, 13. Day two, I want you to be my guest in the Beis HaMikdash, and I want you to feel at home. And for you to feel at home, you can't expect a fireworks show every night. And I'm starting to pull away some of the bells and whistles, pull away some of the gimmicks, until the last day that you're a guest in my house, let's just sit around the table and have a meal. Without 7, 8, 9 parim, how many animals do you normally have at a meal? One. Just being one par, it's Shmini Atzeres. It has nothing to do with the offset between the nations of the world and Am Yisrael. It's a slow decline to meet that or to reach that normal, routine, regular, standard one without all the bells and whistles, because that's how the Jewish people are going to feel totally comfortable in the Beis HaMikdash. This isn't special. I don't have to feel, this is my home. I want to be here with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're here together. I'm not doing anything special. The day-to-day routine is fine for us as a guest. Okay, so it's a really fascinating medrash. Again, it's nestled at the end of Pinchas. We don't spend that much time discussing it. Okay, now, fascinating scene, very poignant scene, very sad scene, when one of the sad scenes of Moshe Rabbeinu passing the baton to Yahushua. So, Hashem gives him a lot of instructions. The first instruction is, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach lecha as Yahushua. Whenever the word kach lecha appears, there's some convincing, it's not a physical taking, there's communication, there's persuasion, there's decision-making, vayikach korach, lakachach, melzadacher, kach es aharon, kachim. So there's a lot of persuasion. Moshe has to persuade Yahushua. Yahushua may be not interested, or even if he's interested, he wants to enthuse him. So what does Hashem say? Rashi says, kach lecha, kachena bidvarim. Speak to him, encourage him, inspire him about it. What should you say? Ashrecha shezachisa, lahanig banav shel makom. What a schus to be the leader of Am Yisrael. What a schus. Yeah, that would inspire me. That's enough for me. Now, when it actually happens, Vayas Moshe kasher tziva oso Hashem oso, Vayikach es Yahushua. So actually, the Torah feels the need to repeat Vayikach es Yahushua. Well, if he did exactly as Hashem ordered, you wouldn't have to repeat every little detail. Why does the Torah repeat Vayikach es Yahushua? So Rashi writes, that's not what he said. Moshe's speech wasn't about the glory of leading the Jewish people. Moshe's been there and done that. He's already been burned by being a leader by the Jewish people. Let me tell you what it is. In the perfect world, which Hashem, of course, is representing, the leader of the Jewish people, everyone sits around harmoniously. You're our leader. Tell us how high we should jump. Where should we go? We'll follow you. That's not exactly what's happened. Is anyone paying attention to the last couple of parshios? So Moshe changes the tune a little bit. Moshe ad-libs. He says, Lacho bidvarim. Ve'odir matan scharin parnasa Yisrael li'olam haba. Bit of a rough ride. A little bit clunky. Don't worry, it'll pay off. Long-term dividends. That's such a big deal. You'll have your... Yahushua, Baruch Hashem, had a smoother ride than Moshe, but every leader. So there's the offset between the perfect reality, the perfect ideal. Of course, Hashem knows what Moshe's going to say. This isn't a game, Moshe's not. But Hashem's representing one ideal, and Moshe's representing more of a realistic description. And in our lives, you have to balance the two. We can't only deal with reality. We also have to deal with the ideal and aspire to an ideal. We don't aspire to ideals and never improve, we'll never advance. We just have to have that perfect mean, that perfect standard in our minds and try to reach as closely as far as we can. But very often we won't be able to. And you have to be realistic also. That's really fascinating. Hashem says, tell him about the glory of being the leader of my people. Moshe says, maybe I'll tell him about Olam Haba. Maybe all that glory comes with a lot of pain and suffering and personal demotion. So maybe I'll talk to him about all this. It's such an explicit Rashi. It's the exact same word. Finally, another thing Hashem tells him is you should smicha. You should put your hands on Yahushua, which is the first transfer of smicha. We don't really have smicha today, unfortunately. Whatever Spitz and I have is not really smicha, but we just have the permission to paskin, which is to avoid the issur of paskining in the presence of our rabbi. We want to really have the smicha. We can't adjudicate. We can't judge the heavy batidinim of misa and kenas and all those elements. But Moshe delivers smicha to Yeshua. Moshe kibbol Torah misim misarol Yeshua. Yeshua gave smicha throughout the generations. And Rashi fills in the blanks. Not only is there a smicha ceremony, but Yeshua actually darshins. So that people shouldn't say, oh yeah, during Moshe's lifetime, you were second rate, but now, okay, what can we do? But even during Moshe's lifetime, very, 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 I don't like to be jingoistic, but one of, I think, the successes of this yeshiva was the way that it created its succession from the older generation, the original Rosh Yeshiva, to the newer generation Rosh Yeshiva, which is not that simple. Either there's rancorous fighting in yeshivas, look at Panavision, fortunately, or most institutions press a reset button. Okay, we have the older Rabbanim, they're now moving along. We have some sometimes caretakers for the interim, then press the reset button, bring in someone new, which is how normal institutions function. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when there's disagreement and strife, that's where it really goes south. But normally, just press the reset button. Here, there's been a lot of continuity, and you and the boys are the beneficiaries of that continuity. You may not know it, but it's in the institution that you're still living a 50-year process, not a 10-year process or a 2-year process. It comes with benefits and disadvantages, but by and large it's beneficial. And one of the ways the succession happens so smoothly was that the pioneering Rosh Hashivas appointed their replacements while they were still alive, while they were functioning, while they were in the Beis Medrash. So Rav Meidan, Rav Gigi replaced Rav Amital, and they gave Shiurim when Rav Amital was still alive, and Moshe replaced his father, and there was a nice handoff. So Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Yeshua to give a drasha so that people see him, as Rashi says. But then there's a final request. Hashem says, V'nasata nehodcha alav. Now what is hod? So hod is probably something supernatural, this glow that Moshe had. And Rashi says, Kirun Orpanav, his glow. Parshas Kitisa. Now, part of why Hashem is telling this to Moshe is because Moshe didn't know that he had Kirun Orpanav. That's the Pasuk in Kitisa. And the point is, in life, the people, this is a supernatural glow in someone's face. But in truth is, the people that really have Kirun Orpanav are the people that don't know it. If you're looking for people that have Karan or Panav, it's not the people that know that they have Karan or Panav. Because if they do, then they're aware of it, and then they're projecting it, and then it's really not Karan or Panav, it's just a facade or a mask. People that die, I know some people like that. It's just they don't know their own humility, they don't know their own greatness, and that's real Karan or Panav. So Hashem has to actually tell Moshe, by the way, don't just deliver smicha, don't just have him give a shir in your presence, you have a Karan or Panav. He has to actually deliberate this or delineate this to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, it may be that supernatural Karan or Panav, as Rashi says, it may just be charisma and personality, and there's so much more to being a Rebbe, and being a leader, and being a father, and being than just the information. It also has to be with the way you interact with people, your personality, and Moshe is delivering not just the supernatural Karan or Panav, but he's delivering his personality. He should look at you the same way that they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu. So 2.5 interesting Rashis, and you get enough time to really explicate that Rashi. First Rashi is, when you're a host one day, I know there's a tendency to go overboard. I know there's a tendency to prepare enough food for the Russian army. And look what I did for you. I built a new wing. I would feel terrible. You built a new wing for me. I'm here for a night. Built a whole new house. No, just welcome. Here's a towel. Here's a room. Don't forget to give them the Wi-Fi password today. It's a must, I guess. Here's the Wi-Fi password. You need anything? No. Okay, that's it. Let them go to their room. Let them have their peace and quiet. Don't make them sit at the table for 4 hours listening to your stories, their stories. Because people want to feel normal. They don't want to feel like they're a burden, inconvenience to people. If they need something, they'll ask. Most people are big boys, big girls, they're not asked. Second part of this is, Hashem tells Moshe, convince Yeshua about the glory of being a Jewish leader. Moshe says, okay, maybe I'll tell him about Olam Haba. Right? There's an old joke. What do we say in Davening? A little mental block. Why? Because no one else is going to pay them. So Kaddish Baruch Hu Yishalim Schar. So don't expect Schar for being a Jewish leader, for being committed. It'll happen in Olam Haba. Third Rashi is, Hashem tells Moshe, by the way, you have Karan Arpanav. Try to share that with Yeshua. And I think part of Moshe's selflessness and part of his heroicism is he's willing to share that. It's one thing to share your information because you can depersonalize information. Every bit of information that I'm learning, it's not really me. It's Torah. It's I received it from my Rebbeim. But when it's your personality and your charisma and your... It's hard to say, can I transfer that? Because that you feel is yours. It's your special brand, your special blend of personality. It's your own. This is not my Torah. This is all just information. It may be inflected differently because of my life, because of my personality. But this is all Rashi. This is all what I've heard from my Rebbeim. As opposed to yourself, can you give yourself to someone? You feel a lot more proprietary about that. That's you. And Moshe is still willing. And in Rashi, Moshe delivers that hold to Yeshua, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed. So tomorrow we'll learn maybe, maybe Meshach Chachma, we'll see. Okay, so now I'm off. I'm running to Francis.